We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Finley 106.7 The Fan. If you've turned a television on in the last week or so and you care about sports, there's an overwhelming chance you've seen the face of our next guest, Mr. Jordan Reed, ESPN NFL draft and college football analyst. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Jordan_Reed, R-E-I-D. How you doing, man? You've been busy.
Yeah, it's the best time of year. It's like the lead up to Christmas for me. It's always good to join you guys.
Well, Jordan, we just had somebody, they thought you played for the Commanders, the Redskins.
Jeff didn't realize.
I get that. Probably once or twice a week.
I said, Jeff, he said, man, tight end. I said, nope.
Jeffrey. Well, dude, let's get down to it. Let's start at the top because I feel like it's almost like forgotten how good Caleb Williams is. For you, is he clearly the number one prospect? It's all but written that he's going to Chicago, but just remind everybody about his game because he's almost weirdly forgotten.
Yeah, he's special, guys. I mean, I think he's a transcendent type of talent, and I think what's so special about him is just not his ability to play inside a structure, but also the differentiator between him and anybody else in this class is his ability to create outside of structure as well. Somebody that had a 31-4 touchdown interception ratio over his career. And inside the pocket, his completion percentage actually went up from 70% to 73% a season ago. And yes, it wasn't as smoothly as what we saw during his 2022 campaign when he won the Heisman. But last year, you saw in spots of why he is considered to be such a great quarterback and the top quarterback in this class.
So we know it's Caleb at number one in Chicago. Number two is where things get interesting. And certainly in Washington, things are very interesting. We've done this on the podcast before. I think you've actually done it with us. There's what should happen and what will happen. Can you give me your version of should and will for Washington at number two, if you were in charge, and then what you expect them to do?
Yeah, so I'll just start what I think will happen. I think they'll select Jaden Daniels at number two overall, and I just look at what they have done this offseason. They want to lay a foundation, and I just look at the players that they have bought in, whether it's Bobby Wagner or Dante Fowler, these veterans that have familiarity with Dan Quinn. I feel like they want to establish a certain foundation and hit the ground running early on during their campaign. So that's why I think they would take Jaden Daniels, just because if we had a game tomorrow, the player that they probably feel the most comfortable about, that they could get the most productivity out of right away, would be Jaden Daniels. But what I would do if I was in Adam Peters' situation, I would take Drake May. Drake May is my second-ranked quarterback in this draft class. And JP, I've been telling you this since the combine. I think as far as the ceiling, long-term, I believe Drake May is going to be the better player.
Ask you this question, though. Like, you watch guys excel in their career in college and they get better. And some guys do take longer than others. But how are we so sure that he will reach his ceiling?
That's always the tricky part when we're talking about quarterback evaluations and why it's so unpredictable. We don't know where these guys are going to land. We don't know how these teams are going to build up the infrastructure around them. And that's why you see everybody somewhat hedging their bet with Minnesota and saying that whoever lands in Minnesota is going to be one of the better quarterbacks out of this entire draft class, just because they have a better situation to drop a quarterback in right now. So it's very unpredictable, but what it comes down to is development, obviously. But you can help those quarterbacks out so much by developing that infrastructure around them, just because it gives them a better chance to succeed.
How, I don't know if you watched any of Jaden Daniels' interview with Ocho Cinco and Shannon last night, but Ocho, like, gushed about the Commanders' skill weapons, McLaurin and Dotson specifically. How good of a situation, and knowing you're going to have Kingsbury, right, how good of a situation do you think Washington can be for a young quarterback?
I think it's good. If we're just ranking them as far as the quarterback needy teams right now, I think they're third behind Minnesota and Chicago, just because You have Terry McLaurin. You have Jahan Dotson. You have somewhat good running backs, and Eckler, he'll be better this year than Brian Robinson, who I'm a big fan of. So you have a visible foundation of pieces around you that are already in place. Cliff, when he has strictly been an offensive coordinator, what he does, a lot of things make sense as far as what he's going to do schematically. And there's a lot of times where there's some people that are just better coordinators than head coaches. I believe Cliff is one of those guys that is a really good play caller. So whoever it is, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, they're going to step into a situation with an experienced play caller that does run schematically things that make sense. So I think Washington overall has the third best situation of the teams that need a quarterback right now. And it's not a situation of where they're going to be stepping into somewhere like New England, who I think has by far the worst situation of any of the quarterback teams right now.
Yeah, that New England situation is kind of dire.
That's not good up there.
Do you think Drake then goes three? Who do the Pats take?
Yeah, I think Drake would go three. Just knowing Elliot Wolf, his dad, and how adamant he was about drafting quarterbacks when he was the GM of the Packers, I just have a hard time seeing them passing on a quarterback at number three, just because what happens if they do end up trading out? You're hoping and wishing that you get back into this spot again next year. And I just don't think they want to be in that type of situation. We don't know how strong or weak the quarterback class is next year. So go ahead and get the quarterback, sit them or whatever you want to do, and just build up your infrastructure after that, just because nothing matters in your rebuild until you get that quarterback spot solidified.
How much of this is going to depend upon the coaching staff and the amount of leash they would have? I think I'm looking at Dan Quinn being hired here with this new ownership group. They're going to be willing to work with them a little more. Some of these other teams where they've had some level of success and they may bring somebody in, they're going to say, look, we need to see something now. And that can hurt a young quarterback too, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's always a major, a major talking point when you're talking about how long or how much job security does the head coach and the regime have. And we know Dan Quinn, he's a new coach, so he's going to have some job security this season. But I think a thought that is really wrong that a lot of people are thinking about this is that they're factoring in Cliff a lot with this. And what I mean by that is if Cliff goes out and he has success with this quarterback, he's probably going to be gone in a year or two. So you can't really base your decision all around Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. What really matters is Dan Quinn, what he wants, what Adam Peters wants, and what they have had success with in the past. So the offensive scheme matters. Yes, it does. But long term, if Cliff has success in the short term, he's going to be gone within 2 to 3 years. So get somebody that really fits what you want long term, and don't focus so much on the schematics that you're going to run short term.
I think that's part of the reason that you have Brian Johnson on this staff as well.
Yep.
And even a guy like David Blough, who Peters has talked about. You know what I mean? Like, should they get the pick right? And let's say it's Jaden or Drake, right? Like, people look at Jaden and they know what Cliff did with Kyler, so maybe it's easier to draw that parallel. But whoever they pick, if it's Drake, if it's McCarthy, if it's Michael Penix, if it goes well, Cliff's going to get another job. And I think that's why they've put together such a staff of Brian Johnson, Tavita Pritchard's still there, Blau. Like, they've got a lot of – they've tried to reinforce the quarterback position. And whoever – like, the play calling, to your earlier point, Jordan, is – that's impossible to replicate, but the offensive system doesn't necessarily have to change just by the loss of one of these dudes, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. And I think you're spot on as far as why they've put so many guys that have experience with developing quarterbacks, just because with offensive coordinators, before you even know it, you have to be able to train that next guy up, just because you guys know what happens a lot of times in the NFL is once these offensive guys have success, especially with a defensive-minded head coach, you have to go ahead and train that heir apparent. That's why they kept Tavita on staff. They have Brian Johnson, who had experience with Jalen Hurts and plenty of other staffs with quarterback development. So I think they put a strong staff in place.
Absolutely. We're talking with Jordan Reed from ESPN. Give him a follow at Jordan_Reid Reed. One more thing kind of early on, and then we'll dive deeper, because you just put out, if anybody wants to check it out, Jordan just put out his mock draft. This is not a mock draft 1 through 32. This is a mock draft 1 through 257. I mean, that is wild. 7 rounds mock draft. You can find it on ESPN.com. The process last week with Topgolf and the emoji heard around the world, now we're in draft week. What do you make of all that? And does it seem like that's going to have any impact on what happens Thursday night?
I mean, it's something that Adam Peters has done in previous stops that he has been in. And it's really just to get a feel for those guys' personality, who has that alpha personality, who's more laid back, and just trying to get a sense of how these guys are. Just because the lead up to the combine, the lead up to the draft, it's kind of like speed dating to me. You don't really understand these guys a whole bunch. You really have at the combine, you only have 18 minutes to meet with them. And then you're getting one day or even 2 days to have a private meeting, a private workout with these guys. Outside of that, you're really going off of intel. So you put them in those uncomfortable type of situations just to see their types of personality that they're that they give off. So I think that was the big reason why they did the whole Topgolf thing. But, you know, I haven't really paid a bunch of attention to as far as the social media, the emoji. I don't really know a whole bunch.
You're better off.
I mean, I'm just going to trust what Jaden says. I've seen some clips from him speaking to my colleague Shannon Sharp and also Chad last night of saying that he would be excited about Washington, and he talked about some of the personnel that's already currently there as well. So I don't see a situation or circumstance of where he would be against playing in Washington.
How many times have you seen agents make a comment and the player can care one way or they don't care, because once they drafted, they're going to treat them like they're the queen of the prom. You know, so ultimately the players don't worry about all that stuff. The agent, his job is to take care of his guy.
Yeah, it's a beauty pageant, right? Everybody wants – I'm a former quarterback. Everybody wants attention, right? That's just how quarterbacks are. We want to be the only one that's paid attention to in the beauty pageant. I think that's just what happened. And some of the other visits that he did have, he probably was the only guy there. So he feels as if he wants his own time with that staff and, you know, just develop some cohesion with them and then just to give off his personality to them. So he's probably just comparing some of those other visits that Jaden had as opposed to the Washington visit that was a little bit different or unconventional than what he experienced.
It's funny, the two former quarterbacks involved in this conversation, college quarterbacks, understand these beauty pageants and prom queens, and the former third-string high school fullback is not really as aware of all that. We're talking with our friend Jordan Reed here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow him at Jordan_Reed. All right, so one of the things you've laid out in your mock draft are a number of possible trades, and I think it was last week you were on with our afternoon show, Grant and Danny, and talked about you think there's a really good chance Washington is trading back up into the first round for a tackle. I personally want the big kid out of Georgia, Amarius Mims. A lot of people have him going kind of 20, 25, somewhere in there. How realistic do you think a trade is for Washington, and is there a specific target?
Yeah, I've said this multiple times. I would be really surprised if AP sits back and waits on pick 36 or 40 to pick an offensive tackle, just because I think there's a bit of a precipitous drop-off of the offensive tackles once we get into the early second round. And these guys, we could see as many as 7 go in the first round. So I just have a hard time seeing him sitting back and just allowing those guys and seeing those guys come off of the board, especially now with Charles Leno gone. They don't have anybody as a starter at left tackle. So they have to get a tackle out of this draft. And where the fall off happens, I would say, like I said, early second round is where it's probably going to happen. So I think that 20 to 30 range is probably where he could look to trade up, especially with them having 5 top 100 picks after they take the quarterback at number 2 overall. I just have a hard time seeing him waiting to get that offensive tackle. Amarius Mims of Georgia definitely could be a target. I have them selecting Tyler Guyton of Oklahoma in my mock draft at number 30 overall. Okay. They exchanged picks with Baltimore and then number 78. They gave him number 78 overall in the draft. He could be one. Jordan Morgan of Arizona is another that could go in the back end of the first round too.
Yeah, I think considering the way they've constructed things, and it's a lot of Band-Aids, right? Of the 16 new free agents they signed, only 3 of them, I believe, have guaranteed money on a second year of a contract. So it's a lot of one-year guys, but they've rebuilt everything except certainly quarterback, and then to leave left tackle out, I'm with you. They gotta make a move there, and these guys are going to study all of it so closely that they're going to be aware of that drop-off in talent too.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make a splash too, right? This is our first draft with the new regime, let's get two first-round picks. Let's make a huge splash. Let's get the franchise quarterback and our franchise left tackle. It just makes so much sense to me.
Yep, it'll get a lot of excitement going around here immediately. I promise you that.
And it lets those two guys grow together. You know what I mean? Yep. They come in together, they grow together, and ideally become kind of a cornerstone of the organization if you do it right. Any other kind of big surprises you're expecting? What about Penix? What about Bo Nix? JJ? So you go Caleb, Jaden, Drake. What happens at four? And do the Cardinals flip out of there? There's so much injury receiver about these guys.
Yeah, I mean, they could switch out, but, I mean, they have such a huge need at receiver. And if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, I just have a hard time seeing Monty Osafor trading off of that. I mean, he's the top-ranked player in the draft to me, regardless of position. I think he's that special of a talent, and they need that type of high-end talent, especially offensively. Pairing him with Kyler Murray, I just think that would be a home run for them. Five gets really interesting with the Chargers, depending on what they want to do, whether they want to take offensive line. Two receivers will be there for them, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. They could take a receiver, or they could trade out. I think that becomes the sweet spot of teams that are looking to trade up for J.J. McCarthy, whether it's Minnesota, Denver, or Las Vegas, who ironically have three consecutive picks back-to-back-to-back at 11, 12, and 13. And then, I mean, even the Giants, they could look to trade up at six as well. So that top five is really interesting this year.
Do you think the Giants are really considering quarterback?
I don't. I mean, you just gave Daniel Jones, what, $160 million last offseason?
No guaranteed money starting next year.
They can't be happy with him, no, Jordan.
They can't. And I understand it, but I think what it really boils down to, guys, is they have to get confirmation that they're going to be there next year. Speaking of Brian Daboll and then also Joe Shane, if they get confirmation that they're going to be there in 2025, I think they see if Daniel Jones can recapture what he showed in 2022, and then look to address after that if he doesn't show that he can recapture that. So just go ahead and get that wide receiver one, build up the offense, and then see if Daniel Jones can recapture it and hopefully stay healthy. If not, then you look to readdress quarterback in 2025. That's just my opinion.
It'll be very, very fascinating. You do so much work. If you're still there, there are two more things I wanted to ask you about. You do a ton of work with HBCUs and the HBCU Bowl. Are there any players that are maybe under the radar kind of to a lot of fans that you expect to go early or just make a big impact?
I don't know if we're going to get one guy drafted this year, honestly. There's a lot of fringe players in the HBCU ranks. Three, I think, could get drafted. One is Anem Dunkwa. He's an offensive tackle out of Howard. He's about 6'8". 360 pounds. He was at the East-West Shrine Bowl, had a really good week of practice. He's probably a fringe draftable guy. Another is Mikey Victor, who's a safety out of Alabama State. He played corner, but I have him graded as a safety, 6'3", right around 200 pounds, really good ball skills. And the one that probably has the most realistic chance of being drafted is Willie Drew, who's a cornerback out of Virginia State. He actually played in the Senior Bowl and had a good week for the most part.
Okay. And the last thing for me, you saw what San Fran was able to do, George Kittle. I mean, one of the most impressive players in football. That's a former fifth rounder. Give me a late round tight, maybe not even late round, but a non top 100 tight end. Washington needs one. Peters has a track record for finding them. Give me one.
You can never go wrong with Iowa guys, right?
I know.
Eric All out of Iowa. He's one that I think probably could go in the fourth or the fifth round. He was injured last year, but really good run blocker, very versatile as a pass catcher too. So he's one you probably could get in the fourth or the fifth round, and I think you could get something out of him.
All right, there you have it. Jordan, I know how busy you are. Thank you for making time for us, man. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you, guys, and good luck this week.
Hi, man.
Thanks, dude.
Tight end you over there in Iowa, man.
Dude, I like that. It's hard not to like the Iowa guys. I've been looking at this big kid from Penn State, Theo Johnson. I don't know if you saw any of his games, but that offense was pretty terrible. I don't think they had really great quarterback play, but that dude is he can help you, man. Jaden Daniels, it's starting to sound more and more like that's going to be the pick. Nobody knows. We won't know until Roger Goodell shouts a name out Thursday night. Brian Mitchell will be there. We're coming right back. It's Beamish.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Oh, 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley. B.
What up?
You know how we get fired up when there's Nats Day games? And let's just tell the truth, we get to go play golf.
Yeah.
You know how we haven't had any of those yet through...
It's been a while, though.
About a month of the season. But we've gotten very close.
They've had something like, going to change.
Well, they've had like 230 games, which doesn't quite impact us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, again, very adjacent to a day baseball game. I believe this is correct, and Lanfield might know the answer as a secret Yankee fan. Or Jeff might know the answer as an actual Yankee fan. I believe WFAN, where I'm sitting right now, is the... broadcast of the Yankees. Right? Mm. They have, I think for a long time, the Yankees have been on this air. And there's a Yankee day game today. And I'm here, so you can, you know how you can tell when it's like the play-by-play programming and not the studio programming? I think that's what's going on. I could be incorrect. I also did find a new vending machine, which is closer to where I'm sitting, and it has Diet Coke cans. So that's particularly exciting news, I would say. Do you agree with that?
I disagree.
You don't think it's at least exciting?
No. Diet Coke?
Yeah, Diet Coke, dude.
Hell no.
I'm pro Diet Coke. I wanted to read, Jordan Reed was great. If you missed any of that, you should check that out. He is quite confident, and talking to folks around the league, there's a lot of belief Washington's going to try to get back up into the first round of the draft and get a tackle. And frankly, I think it'd be really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for everybody that screamed about trading away Montez Sweat last year, if that ends up delivering a first round tackle, it's well worth it.
Totally.
It would be my thought.
I don't think many people that really would care would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
If they totally were to move up.
I wanted to read, Daniel Jeremiah is another draft analyst I like a lot. He put out his top 150 prospects. And DJ's kind of the only dude that is still, at least in his last mock, had Washington taking Drake and not Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the prospect list and not the mock draft. But in his prospect list, he's got Caleb Williams at one, Marvin Harrison Jr. at two, and that's consistent with what we just heard from Jordan Reed. He's got Harrison ahead of all these other quarterbacks. Rome Odunze at three, the Washington wideout, who's going to be a stud. Then Malik Nabers at four, the LSU wideout. I mean, these wideouts are just ballers, B.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ has Drake May at five. I'm going to read now. May has prototypical size, athleticism, and arm strength. He has quick feet and quick hands, but his delivery can get long at times. He's a gifted thrower who drives the ball without much foot space in the pocket, including with defenders hanging on him. He can take pace off the ball on swings and shallow crossers. He has a nice touch on bucket throws down the field. He is athletic to escape and create with his legs, and he's tough to tackle in space. He is ultra-competitive as a runner, something he'll need to dial back a bit at the next level. His pass that's something you said about Howell, too, B. His mm-hmm. pass protection wasn't good last season at North Carolina, and there weren't always answers in the route to bail him out, which led to some poor decisions and carelessness with the ball. Overall, May has some things to clean up, but he has every ingredient to be a top-tier starter at the game's most important position. That's May. Sounds kind of right to me. The only thing... I guess when he says he can take pace off the ball on swings and shallow crossers, I think that is meant more as like advice, like something he needs to do rather than something he does. Because I think some of the easy misses are a pace issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got May at five and then Daniels at six, Brian. So clearly he sees them as kind of neck and neck type prospects. But I'll read it first and then I'll ask you my question. I don't want to lead the witness. This is Daniel Jeremiah's breakdown of Jaden Daniels. Daniels is a tall, lean quarterback with exceptional accuracy, decision-making, and speed. He's very poised and comfortable in the pocket. He likes to use a rhythm bounce at the top of his drop before settling his feet into the ground and smoothly transferring his weight to throw. He has an extremely quick release and beautiful throwing motion. He throws with anticipation, touch, and accuracy. He flashes the ability to manipulate safeties with his eyes to create separation downfield. When he gets pressured, he doesn't hesitate to explode out of the pocket. He has elite suddenness. He is more of a linear speed runner than a breakdown, make you miss type of ball carrier. He needs to do a better job of protecting himself, though, as he took some huge hits in the games I studied. Overall, Daniels took a massive leap in 2023 and now offers both a high floor and ceiling. So here's my question, B. Having read both of those, doesn't it sound like he's more excited about Daniels, even though he's sixth to Drake May's fifth?
It sounds 100% that. So when you were reading the stuff about May, I'm sitting here going, that's a guy who likes somebody that don't want to get off of that. And that's why he pushes, which called him the most. I heard Jordan said too. I'm amazed that people could say this guy here is ready to go right now, which most teams need. But this guy here, he gonna be better later on. What if somebody drops into the league and go to the playoff for the next 3-4 years, then your other guy come and he's all of a sudden good 4 or 5 years later? You gonna tell me that was worth it to wait? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what happens when guys get year and year and year under their belt? They get better and better, don't they?
Yeah.
In the NFL. So the guy that's ready to hit the ground running right now, how the hell are you going to tell me the guy that I got to roll a dice on is going to be better later on? I don't know if he will or not. He may be. But that's a high risk to take, especially if you see all these draft analysts, one thing that they don't have to worry about, getting fired for a guy not working. Okay, so that's why my mindset is general managers and guys who formerly did it before and had to do it while making a choice on my job's gonna be here tomorrow or not. These other guys say things on radio and TV, and you know what happens next year? They change up their whole mindset. That other dude, his ass gonna get tight. You know, so I hear these things and I'm listening. You're totally right. Jeremiah's stuff, if anybody listens to those two descriptions, which one he sound the most excited about?
The description, maybe it's just you and I hearing it. Landfill, do you hear that the same when you listen to that description between May and Daniels?
Yeah, it sounds like he likes Daniels better than me. I don't know what's up there.
I have never heard this phrase, but I like it. He has elite suddenness. I think you could probably describe some of my sexual performances as elite suddenness, but I think in a quarterback that's a runner, I think that's what you want. Like,
yeah, and on the football field, not in the bedroom.
Jeff, do you see this the same way?
Yeah, he definitely has more regard for Jaden Daniels, but bro, don't ever say you got
it sound, but
suddenness over the air like that.
Well, you know he does.
So I have elite suddenness, sounds, Jeff, just to be clear. Like, it's elite.
To me, it sounds like when he was speaking, he knows what Jaden is about, but he's hoping that which column is what he say he is. That's what it sounds like.
Yo, I think that's pretty fair. I think it's like we think this dude might become – the comp most people make is Herbert, right? They're like, yo, we think this dude might become Herbert. But we know this dude is really, really good right now. And it's almost like if you're in the evaluation process, you don't want to give up on the stock that could go to the moon. Yeah. But sometimes you're just better off buying Apple and letting it go up every year.
See, It's kind of like, let me see how I want to put this here. Jaden Daniels is a guy who has shown you that he's getting better year in and year out. But people are really impressed by the lineage in Drake May's family, did any of them play in the NFL? They're all athletes, but did they play in the NFL?
I mean, his brother's a basketball player.
Okay, but just because, the whole family is athletic. I know people that everybody in their family played all kinds of sports. None of them played in no professional ranks. But I'm watching this other guy show me that he's getting better every year, but I'd much rather put my money on the hope of somebody else because of their family lineage is going to be a certain way. You can't do that when you are making that pick and you're your guy where this guy performs today or the next year or two, or I'm out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I keep going back to I don't know that there's a wrong path. I'll say it that way. I don't hate trading back, getting a ton of picks, and taking Penix. I don't hate it. People are freaked out about the injuries. Compare injury rates to bust rates of quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, the bust rate is way higher than the injury rate.
If somebody were to come to you with a ridiculous offer, I understand that. But you don't need to go looking for that. Because when you go looking for it, you lose that every time.
Right. So I'm just saying I don't think there's any bad options. If something went crazy and they trade back and they take Penix and they got four first-rounders to rebuild everything, I'm cool with it. If they stay and they take Drake, I'm cool with it. If they stay and they take JJ, I'm cool with it. I know others aren't. But if what I think they should do and what I think they will do is they're going to stay and take Jaden. I just don't hate any of the options, which is a rare place to be.
I don't think I hate any of the options, but if we are going to try and get better, we need to try and get better. We can't keep thinking about, what if, what? No. Eventually, it's going to come to a point where if they were to make a move, we may not say nothing today. We damn sure be saying something tomorrow. And I think that's the ultimate thing. I'm looking for the point to when we're going to make a pick and they're going to be good from the day they hit the ground on forward because they're going to also have that support with them. They can't fall in a line and a guy get drafted and he goes into the first game and he has an interception. Everybody jumps. Oh, we should have got the other guy. No, that's not what I'm looking for. And I kind of feel like that's a part of where we've been in this town. If I can see where this coaching staff and this front office is 100% behind somebody, when they draft them, I'm with it. Because I don't really get swayed by what the fans think because most times they change like they change underwear. So it don't make a difference to me. You know, I've been booed in the first quarter, cheered in the second, booed in the third, and then they want to kiss my ass in the fourth. So they change their mind all the time. We can't get caught up in that. It comes down to, does the person have the necessary support to get where they need to go? Instead of like we used to be, when the fans got a little upset, all of a sudden the talk out of the building started to be upset too.
Just get better. Win ball games.
That's it.
Grant Danny started too. We will be right back.
What up?
Mitch and Finley on 106.
What up?
I did want to make mention of this, lest we forget, and who knows in our world what will come tomorrow. So, Barrett Sports Media, I'll tweet this out if anybody wants to read it. Barrett Sports Media does, they're like a media consulting service, and they kind of pay attention to the business of sports media around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they landed on us, but this dude.
I put it out there already, Jay.
Okay, cool. Dave Green did a really cool article on us. He wrote, I'm reading here, this week I wanted to listen in on some NFL draft talk, and since we all know what the Chicago Bears will do with the number one pick, I went down a spot and headed to Washington, D.C. I figured, why not tune into a show that featured someone who played football at the highest level? So I decided to eavesdrop in on the 106.7 The Fan Midday Show, B. Mitch and Finley. The column is called Eavesdropping. I guess this dude just like bounces around and listens to different shows all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
This is him talking about me and Brian. On paper, they are a bit of an odd couple. One was born in the South, the other in the East. One is black, one is white. One is in his mid-50s, the other his early 40s. Yet the chemistry between the two is quite obvious when you listen in. The commonality the two share seems to start with what binds a lot of the Washington, D.C. community, football. Sure, there's plenty to talk about in D.C. sports outside of the Commanders, and the show hits on all of it, but football dominates as it should. It's kind of funny because I guess the day he listened to was the day the computers were going nuts.
You were killing the computers.
And I just kept screaming about it. And then it was you and I talking about the emoji heard around the world and all of these various things. But it's fun, man. It's a cool read. And he also listened to Ask B. Mitch Anything, which was awesome.
It makes you feel good about what you do.
Yeah, dude. So I like this paragraph. B. Mitch and Finley is what a midday show is supposed to be. The show moves quickly, and they keep it light. Finley brings a ton of energy and says dude quite a bit. Mitchell is a wealth of football knowledge and isn't going to let anything bother him too much. I think that describes us pretty well, man.
Oh, big time. Hey, that man was really paying attention.
He really was. All right, let's make some bets. Jeffrey.
Well, since B won last week, I guess he could start with the bets.
Yeah, I'll pass it on to somebody else.
Oh, that just means you don't got your bets ready.
Yeah, that's true, and I was actually playing Toon Blast.
Now that is the least surprising thing I've ever heard. Landfill, did you miss B. Mitch's Toon Blast habit?
I did not know.
Hey, Landfill don't know nothing about my habit. He just better sit over there and stay on his little phone.
That's true.
All right. We got NBA and NHL playoffs going on. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to bet a hockey game because outside of these Caps, I'm not really the expert.
I'll bet on the Penguins in the playoffs.
What's the money line with the Nuggets?
Oh, Penguins wait. Are out of the playoffs, dude.
Yeah, I know, stupid. You stepped on it.
What's the money line with the Nuggets and the Lakers?
The Nuggets money line is -300, B.
Can't do
put
that one.
In. No.
All right, give me the Knicks -5.5.
6 on FanDuel.
I'll take the Caps plus. No, wait, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
I'm so dumb.
I'll still take the Knicks then, -6. And still, give me the over 224, the Nuggets and the Lakers.
Give me the Pirates over the Brewers.
I want the Mets. Money line.
Money line.
There's a Mets game on a television screen up here, but that may be a replay.
Yeah, because they don't play till 9:46 p.m.
Yeah.
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 JP.
Yeah.
Give me over.
Yeah.
Hey, all you yes.
Yeah.
Stop. Give me the over in the Knicks game. I'm a New Yorker now, Landfill. I'm a Knicks fan.
Parlay me with the Orioles beating the Angels.
Whoa. The Orioles are playing? That's my permanent bet.
They play the Angels at 9:39 tonight.
I'm no longer a New Yorker. Give me the Orioles. That's just how we're going to operate throughout the season. We're taking the O's.
Now he's a Baltimorean.
Also, apparently, Heavy Metal Chris would like to go to the Deep Purple concert, if anybody can help with that.
You and Heavy Metal Chris go together.
Nah, man, I'm out. I'm busy. Listen, Deep Purple and bike riding, I'm busy.
He'll give you a good time out there.
We got to go. Thank you to everyone that listened to the program today. Thank you to John Walton.
Yeah, and the man said that too. Your B's and P's pop on the radio.
Pop, pop, pop. I think there's a song about popping something, right, Jeff? We're going to move on.
Go ahead.
John Walton, thank you for joining us. John Birdo, thank you for joining us. Barry's from
Brito.
Brito, sorry. Thank you for joining us. Jordan Reed, ESPN, thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Grant and Danny coming your way now. If you made it this far, I'll leave here.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.